What's up, guys? My name is Shelby, and today we're going to be talking about Sally Face. Yeah. If you don't know what that game is, well, listen to this and you'll figure it out. The real name of Sally Face, well, first of all, let me explain what Sally Face is. It's a game. It's a video game, yeah. I know with the name Sally Face, you might think, oh, this is about a, like, girl character. No. Sally Face is actually a boy. And his real name is Sal Fisher. It says here, Sal Fisher, otherwise known as Sally Face, is the titular main protagonist of the game, Sally Face. So his nicknames are Sally, Sally Face, Sally Boy, Sally Face Killer, or Smooth Criminal. Or in later on in the game, he's known as Inmate #081486. His relatives are his father, Henry Fisher, and his deceased mother, Diane Fisher. She dies at the beginning of the game. His hair is blue, eyes are blue, he's a human, he's male, and he's 5'2". He is 15 years old, born December 20th, 1981. Wow, he's actually older than me by now. And he was born in New Jersey. So, appearance. Sal has blue eyes and wears a prosthetic face, which is usually seen as creepy by others. It is primarily white with a dark patch over the right eye. He keeps his bright blue hair tied up in two pigtails and has two piercings in each ear. Sal is most consistently seen wearing a black sweater, ripped red jeans, and blue and white sneakers. I think blue is his color. Just some cars do not know the speeding limit. I think that was a motorcycle, though, if you guys heard that roaring sound, then yeah. Hold on. Sorry, I sneezed. Again, I say I'm sick. Yep. And then, so, just by looking at the picture, blue is definitely his color. Anyways, while out in the snow, he wears a pair of blue fingerless mittens and green earmuffs. Oh, nice. Throughout the series, he is also sometimes seen with his hair out of the pigtails, and in flash forwards, he wears his hair down and is wearing an orange prison jumpsuit. Personality. Sal is an adventurous teenage boy. He seems to be resourceful and has the ability to keep his cool during stressful situations. As seen through his interactions with ghosts, yep, that's right, he talks to ghosts. He comes off as friendly and polite, regardless of rude or frightened responses he may get from people who are reacting to his prosthetic. And he's openly affectionate with his friends. Which is a good thing, I guess. Yeah. Sal frequently offers a listening ear to kind words to others, even to those that have been unfriendly to him, as evidenced in episode 3 when he comforts a crying Travis in the boys' bathroom. sorry, I'm sniffling a lot. His compassion and willingness to help people regardless of their appearance or standoffish behavior is demonstrated time and time again. Though he is a kind person, Sal is capable of snapping back at those who try to hurt him through the use of sarcasm. So he is a savage boy. As in other words. Yeah, this is gonna be... Yeah. Don't know what I was trying to say there. In episode 3, his quick wit is demonstrated in response to bullying from Travis. He does not report the resulting punch in the face from Travis, however, he does not correct comments made towards him out of ignorance rather than malice, such as when Miss Rosenberg misgenders him. Yeah, the name Sally Face is kind of misleading. And that with the pigtails, yeah. Suggesting that he doesn't like confrontation. He also does not seem to approve of violence, as he protests when his friends even jokingly threaten to kill Travis for bullying Sal. In flash forwards, Sal appears to be significantly more jaded and less trusting of others. He is well educated and enjoys learning, though he is seen seemingly wandering off in class. That's true. It is not known whether or not this is common. Biography. Sal at age 5, a month or so before Sal's move to Addison Apartments, which is a building complex. I think that's what you would call it in the game where he lives. The Fisher family went on a picnic to a scenic and sunny location where a young Sal finds a dog and is eager to pet it. After some prodding, Diane consents and allows Sal to visit the animal. What follows is a mystery, but it is likely that the dog attacked Sal and injured him horribly, hence why he has to wear a prosthetic face. Yep. And, well. While the public seems to believe that this was the same feral dog that claimed the life of Diane Fisher. Oh, a dog killed her? I didn't know that. Sal is adamant that it was a man that took his mother away from him. Okay, so it might have been a man. A human, not a dog. After a fateful visit to the hospital, Sal had to adapt to his new life with his prosthetic face and internalized the nickname bullies would later give him, Sally Face. Hence the name of the game, Sally Face. Sal's move to Addison Apartments. Unknown circumstances ripped the two remaining members of the Fisher family from New Jersey and into the mysterious abode of Addison Apartments, room 402. Halfway through unpacking, Sal decides to take a break, and after sharing his feelings about the move to his father, he was left to explore the complex. After meeting the lovely Lisa Johnson, Sal is introduced to heavy metal-loving Larry Johnson, who quickly became friends with the newcomer. And that newcomer is Sally Face. My nose is runny. After Larry confided in Sal the details of Mrs. Sanderson's murder at the hands of Charlie Mansfield, the boy is quick to offer his assistance. After devising a plan of action and receiving a walkie-talkie from Larry, Sal returns to his and... What? Sal returns to his... That's okay. Sal returns to his and a blackout drunk father to await his friend's signal. I'm gonna sneeze again. Darn it. I hate when that happens. After they're confided, I already read that. After the officers are pulled away by a fake report of robbery, Sal enters room 403 and witnesses the carnage committed by Mansfield, the body outline of Sanderson, and an empty space between two glitter ponies. My glitter pony, let's get rainbow-fied. Oh boy. These allergies are kicking my butt. Let me tell you that. When visiting the and I skipped a paragraph too, it seems. Upon returning to Larry, they decided that they had to retrieve the stolen glitter pony from Charlie and turn it into the authorities. And I feel like I'm gonna sneeze again, but I know I'm not. A quick visit to Charlie's room made it clear to Sal that the collector wouldn't let him anywhere near his toys, so he had to find another way. When visiting the fifth floor, Sal finds old laxatives in the bathroom of room 405 and the ghost of young Megan Holmes, but the supernatural being is too scared to speak to Sal for so long. Regardless, Fisher continued with his plan. Sorry again for the loud sniffling noises. After adding the laxative to a cup of Addison tea made by the owner of Addison Apartments, who wanted to open a tea shop first but then had to take on the role of being the owner of Addison Apartments because his father did that, and so his father was like, no, you have to do that, you're not opening a tea shop anywhere. And then I think something happened to the owner's family, I don't know. So after adding the laxative to a cup of Addison tea, Sal managed to get Charlie to abandon his watch over his beloved collection to attend more pressing concerns in the restroom. Sal snags the toy and turns it into the detective on the first floor. Mansfield is arrested and hauled away. When Sal leaves the apartment to see Charlie off, curiosity pulls him towards the coroner's van, where Sanderson's decaying corpse lay, bagged and awaiting processing. Nightmares of Mansfield. A few months into Sal's stay at Addison Apartments, he begins to become plagued by nightmares. One particular dream places him at the picnic where his mother was murdered and shifted into Larry's shoes when he was fixing the toilet for Sandy Sanderson, who was the person who was murdered. After being devoured by the toilet, Sal meets the glitter pony he used to incriminate Charlie, begging for water. When the plumbing is restored, the glitter pony becomes bloated, serving as a bridge for Sal to return to the surface to witness Mansfield murdering Sanderson. A trail of bloodied footprints leads to a seated Charlie Mansfield admissioning Sal for his actions. Sal is jolted from sleep when Charlie's skin peels off to reveal a coal black demon with red eyes. Oh gosh. A dark secret, Sal confides the details of his most recent vision in Larry, who is skeptical of the whole thing. Despite this, Johnson takes Fisher to his treehouse to tell him the story of his past. Sal immediately recognizes the red-eyed demon from Larry's story, having seen it in the apartment's kitchen on his first day when he met Larry, and offers to help lift his curse. After retrieving an enigmatic puzzle box, from a trunk containing the possessions of Larry's father, Jim Johnson. The two return indoors, meeting the others. This is gonna be a long episode, like I said in the last one. After a failed attempt to summon Megan Holmes from the bathroom in room 504, Larry refers Sal to Todd Morrison, the resident brainiac and believer in the unknown, which would be the paranormal. Sal, eager to show Larry that spirits do exist, doesn't hesitate to pay Todd a visit. Upon entering Todd's apartment, room 202, Sal meets Ashley Campbell, a fellow student at Knoxville High, and quickly becomes enamored with her. Sal has a little crush, in other words. After a brief farewell to Campbell, Morrison agrees to help Fisher by modifying his Gear Boy, which I'm assuming is the same thing as a Game Boy, to better detect supernatural activity. After cannibalizing Larry's radio antenna and walkie-talkie, the device was ready for testing in Todd's restroom. Excuse me. It was here that they draw out the weeping ghost of Greg Montague, who is quickly scared away by Red Eyes, which is the demon. And they somehow, scared it away, I think. Yeah. They didn't scare away Greg Montague, they scared away the red demon thingy. The red demon thingy! Todd recovers from the initial shock of the supernatural occurrences and advises Sal to test it further while he did some digging into the history of the murders in Addison Apartments. Sal's tests lead to the discovery of various symbols throughout the apartment complex and the phantom of Jim Johnson. Yerp. Sal doesn't share any of his discoveries with his friends, because you want to keep that stuff under wraps. Am I right? I mean, if I saw that stuff, I probably would tell someone, but I would end up, in a straitjacket in a mental asylum. So there. I probably wouldn't tell anyone. When Megan remained hidden, even with the improved tracking device, Sal returned it to Todd and learned that the officers that arrested Charlie were not registered in the police database, and the Charlie Mansfield that was arrested. Where am I? Oh, and the Charlie Mansfield that was arrested looked nothing like the one they knew. What? Additionally, old reports of Megan's corpse being found by Lake Wendigo shows pictures of the girl when she was still alive. Sal retrieves Megan's necklace from the same lost and found that held the supernatural Gear Boy cartridge, brings Larry back to room 504, and uses the Super Gear Boy and crucifix necklace to successfully draw out Megan Holmes. So, that's all I'm gonna say about that. If you want to watch someone play this game on YouTube, I would highly recommend watching Gloom Games on YouTube. Because just search up Gloom, I think it's Gloom Games, Sally Face. And yeah, go check her out, subscribe to her. Probably doesn't know who the heck I am, so it doesn't matter if you say, "This person recommended you to me," but you can if you want to. So bye!